What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today, we have made it to a really exciting book, the book of Daniel. This is the last of the major prophets here, and we are going to see the story of Daniel's life, not only his personal life, but we're also going to see the story of kingdoms. So many kingdoms are described here. Specifically, the first big one is the kingdom of Babylon, which we're going to be introduced to a little bit here. We've heard a lot of prophecy about it in the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, in the book of Ezekiel. Now, in the book of Daniel, we see the people go to exile. This is the first wave of exile, and Daniel and a few other selective people have been taken from the land of Judah, and they're brought to Babylon. So the reason I say this is the first wave is, as I hope you remember, the exile did not happen all at once. It happened over the course of time, and this was probably the first group of people that were taken out of the land and brought to the land of Babylon. Now, it's probably about 605 BC. That's when most people guess this is, the beginning of the book of Daniel, because there's some time markers here at the beginning. So this is exile number one. It says Daniel and some of these special Judean youths were taken. So these are all people that are either a part of the royal family or were important or had rich parents or whatever. This was like, grab all the Ivy League grads and bring them to this foreign kingdom. That's what it was like here. So they take them and it says they rename these people. Daniel's rename was actually Belteshazzar, which we don't see very much in this book. Sometimes Nebuchadnezzar calls him that, but Belteshazzar is actually his name in Babylon. And then we see three names that hopefully you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are actually the Babylonian names for three other guys. We got Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So those are your three people that are Daniel's friends that we're going to see joining him in this journey. So it says in verse number 8 of chapter 1 that Daniel resolved that when he got there, that he would not defile himself with the king's food. So apparently some of the food that King Nebuchadnezzar was going to feed these people was defiling in the sense that it did not hold up to the standard of the book of Leviticus, that if I ate this, then I would be breaking God's law. So Daniel says, we can't eat this. I'm not going to eat this. So he decides not to do it. And then one of the officials, who's Daniel's boss, comes to Daniel and says, look, Daniel, if you don't do this, he actually probably didn't call him Daniel, probably called him Belteshazzar, said, Belteshazzar, look, if you don't do this, I'm going to get in trouble with the king. And he said, well, can I do it for just a little bit? I'm going to try just vegetables and water and all these things, you know, a little healthier food, maybe not all this meat and all this stuff that we're eating. And he says, okay, I'll let you do that. And he does it for a while. And after a course of time, it says that Daniel and his three friends were actually more healthy and they were just better servants for the king. So it says that they actually took all the other people off the diet that was maybe a more rich diet, and says they took him off that. I don't think there's anything, you know, supernatural or spiritual or whatever. I just think God was showing favor to Daniel and his friends for not disobeying the book of Leviticus, for really obeying God's rules. He showed him favor. So it says that they kind of started to get to know people in Babylon. Chapter 2 describes this scene where King Nebuchadnezzar has a really scary and bad dream that really freaked him out. And it was true. It should have freaked him out because this dream was really about him. And God actually gave him this dream is what it seems like. And he wants to know what the interpretation is. Now, if you're a powerful king and you want to have your dream interpreted, if you go and tell people what the dream was, that opens it up to anyone to interpret. So Nebuchadnezzar thinks beyond that. He says, all right, I need all my wise men, all my counselors, come here. Tell me what my dream was. And then on top of that, tell me what the interpretation was. See, he's a little bit smarter, right? So he knows that someone's not just going to come along and just tell him whatever he wants to hear, right? You could obviously take a dream and just spin it however, you know, makes Nebuchadnezzar look good. But Nebuchadnezzar says, no, I want the truth. And they say something, the wise men say something funny in verse 10. This is Daniel 2:10. It says, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demands. Exactly. And that is what this story in the book of Daniel is going to set up. Going to set up Daniel, this guy who has a relationship with the living God, the one who knows all things, the God that we read about in the book of Isaiah, the one who promised judgment in the book of Jeremiah, and the one who gave Ezekiel all the visions of the new world as well as the sinfulness of Jerusalem. That's the God that Daniel knows, and Daniel is going to show him this dream. So it says that Daniel said, all right, tell him, we're going to tell him the dream. Which again, he doesn't even have the interpretation at this point. It says, he went to his house, told the matter to his three friends, and he asked them to seek mercy from God. So he says, guys, we need to pray about this, because he's got two options at this point. either Nebuchadnezzar is going to kill all the wise men for not having the dream, so they're going to die that way, or they're going to pray and God's going to give them an answer. So it was a life or death situation. So Daniel said, all right, I know the living God and he can give the answer. So let's pray to him. And they rely on him and he gives the answer. But in the midst of this, you have one little section that looks like poetry. If you're reading the Bible in a Bible like mine that kind of indents a little bit, you see there's some poetry in verse 20 to 23. And this is one of the many sections in Daniel where someone breaks out in song. So we actually see that a few times. We're going to see people break out in song to God. And here's what the song says. He says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and you have made known to me what we have asked you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Now, this little song here, what it's going to point forward to, we're going to see all these songs throughout the book of Daniel, so be on the lookout for them, where God is highly exalted. The person talking says really good things about God, and that's what Daniel says. So he goes to the king, the official brings Daniel to the king, and he says, there is a God who knows this. There's not wise men out there who can read minds. There's a God in heaven who knows all of your thoughts, King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he tells him what it is. And this dream is an interesting dream. It actually points forward to something we're going to see later on in the book. But this dream really is about this kingdom's shifting from Babylon to the next people, to the next people, to the next people. So it's this dream where there's this huge statue, its head is made of gold, and then so on as the metals go down all the way to the feet, which is like a mixture of iron and clay. And it says that out of nowhere from heaven, there's this meteor that smashes the statue and it knocks it all over. Okay, so there's your dream here. What's the interpretation? Daniel says that the interpretation is of Nebuchadnezzar. He's the head of gold. He's Babylon. He represents Babylon. Babylon is the head of gold. And after him are going to come all these kingdoms that are not as amazing. They're certainly strong, but they're not as glorious as this king of Babylon. But it says as time goes on, these kingdoms are going to get more and more. And one day this meteor is going to crash it down. What's the meteor? He says the kingdom of God is going to come and smash it all down. And Nebuchadnezzar said, only you can know this. Only God can know this, because that's exactly what my dream was. And then he promotes Daniel, and Daniel goes far in the ranks, which that's going to lead us to the next chapter, where Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael get in some trouble for not obeying everything the king says. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. But the book of Daniel, I want you to see, as we continue to read it, look for places where it talks about God's power over all the affairs of the world, all the kingdoms and the kings and the armies and the battles. Who's in charge of all of that? God's in charge. And that's what we see here in the book of Daniel chapter 2. So that's our Old Testament reading. Let's look at the New Testament. We're looking at 1 John chapter 2 today, which 1 John is a jam-packed book. There's so much in here that talks about what it means to live for God. And here at the beginning, he says to them, chapter 2, my little children, I'm not writing these things to you so that you may not, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Obviously, I'm telling you to confess your sin and seek forgiveness because I don't want you to sin. But if you do sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's able to forgive us of our sins and to stand between us and God and to say, this person is now righteous because of my work. That's what Jesus does for those who are Christians. Then it says in verse 3, look, if you keep his commandments, that's what it means to know and love God. He says, if you act like you know God, but you don't really truly from the heart keep his commandments, you say, I know him, but you don't keep his commandments, well, that person is a liar and the love of God is not in them. You can't say that person has great love of God if they're not keeping God's commandments. He says, whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, which should remind you of John chapter 15, the words that Jesus said. He said, abide in me that you'd bear much fruit. So as he goes on here, he's going to continue to say, I'm not telling you to do something you don't know about. I'm telling you to do this old commandment that's from the beginning, that you would love one another, which we're going to see here later on worked out. So he says, look, you're living in a dark world, but you're supposed to be light in a dark world. Don't live like the darkness. He says, little children, young men, fathers, he talks to these different groups in the church, and he says, as Christians, you need to live for God. One of the best ways that you can live for God in this world is verse 15 to 17, not falling in love with the world or the things in this world. He says all that stuff is passing away. It's going to be gone one day, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Then he talks about people who left the church. He talks about there's this spirit right now of Antichrist, which is not talking about the end times. It's just talking about right now in this last days, there are people who are opposed to Christ. Whoever comes to the church for a while, lives, you know, goes to the teaching, goes to the youth group, and then gets up and leaves and walks away from the church. He says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Don't be surprised that that's going to happen. He says, there will be that. Until Jesus comes back, there'll be people who are fakes. So he says, make sure that's not you. And that's one of the important things for you to see. I mean, look at the book of 1 John. You don't want to be a fake. You don't want to be a person who's claiming to know God, but the truth is that we don't know God. So let that be a reminder to you as you read this book. Let's make sure we know God and that we live like him, like Daniel did in the exile, and Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Let's live like them, people who are sold out to live for God no matter where we are. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the Daily Bible Reading Snapshot.